Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. We are here advancing the cause of freedom and the spirit of liberty. 2 Corinthians 17 says, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So we are going to hopefully shed the light of truth on the lies, and there are many out there. We're going to hopefully inform you and encourage you and inspire you and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. Welcome all of our listeners on the terrestrial stations, AM 630 on the AM dial and on the FM dial, 96.5 FM, and of course, our live streaming audience listeners. Thank you guys. Don't forget, also, you can call in to listen on your cell phone if you have limited bandwidth or your internet's acting up and you still have cell phone service. That number is 857-757-1085. And you can always go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR banner, and from the drop down there, you'll find all the different ways that you can listen to Radio Free Redoubt, including our Podbean site, which is where we upload each show as in the form of a podcast you can listen to on the go. We really appreciate your support. Anything that you can help us with, $5, $10, $25 a month or more, is really, really grateful. And there's different ways that you can help support us that in that area as well. But we really covet your prayers. We pray for your protection through your prayers. Now, this week has been a very emotionally charged week. We are just coming off. We're less than 36 hours away from a shooting at two mosques. Last I heard, one male in his 20s has been charged with murder. I've heard that the last reports are there are three males and one female in custody, but I've not heard anything about these others. The other males and the female. Not sure what to think of it, but I was able to track down this manifesto that this shooter apparently drafted. But it left me with a lot of moments and segments of it. Things that aren't matching up. Someone asked, what do you think of the guy's manifesto? I'm like, it's all over the place. It's schizophrenic. It's left wing. It's right wing. We don't know what wing it is. But Breitbart did a good article. And by the way, this was very difficult to find. The left and the powers that be in the interwebs, they hate Breitbart, or, you know, we're seeing this a lot, the censoring of conservative or right-leaning news platforms. So I did multiple internet searches for this article of Breitbart, couldn't find it on any of them. I had to go to the exact link that someone had texted me to be able to track, to go back to this story directly. Interesting. But I want to share a few things here because they have some of the same thoughts that I had. So you can go to this article. We're going to link it in the highlights and resources posting if you have a difficult time finding it like I did. That highlights and resources posting should be posted within about 24 hours from the time of the show that you're listening right now. So please keep checking back. And of course, you know, it takes it's all volunteers here working for Radio Free Redoubt and Amron. And so we do the best we can. Sometimes you're multitasking. You might be fixing dinner while you're clicking enter on a posting that you're trying to put up or, you know, some other life things happening. But I want to read you this Breitbart article, these portions of it. The New Zealand Shooters Manifesto, which they didn't link out of their article, I do have a copy of it, though, is a mix of avowed white supremacist sentiment and suggested tactics to fellow extremists, including his declared intention to exploit racial, cultural, and political division in the U.S. He's saying that he wants to hopefully spark a civil war. What he wants to do is invigorate the anti-gun movement, which, by the way, New Zealand has very similar firearms laws as what you might find in the United States, much more lax than you might find in Wyoming or Idaho. Or, you know, the Western states, but not nearly as stringent as you might find in, say, California or Massachusetts. They're somewhere in the middle there. But apparently, this guy who massacred up to 50 civilians, multiple still wounded, so those numbers could rise, but approximately 100 people shot in two mosques in New Zealand's city of Christchurch. Apparently, the document is riddled with white nationalist talking points, and the shooter describes himself as a fascist. He also castigates Muslims as the most despised group of invaders in the West. Now, what's interesting about this is that he used leftist ideology terminologies, and he used right-wing terminology as well. It's very inconsistent with what we see somebody who's they're holding these hardcore right-wing views or hardcore left-wing views or whatever. It's all over the place. Elsewhere in the document, the shooter describes himself as a socialist, depending on the definition, quote unquote. The shooter also declares his support for environmentalism, workers' rights, and responsible markets. Now, these are all globalist, communist types of ideologies that you typically see: environmental justice, workers' rights, responsible markets. This is left-wing, communist type of mantra. But he also mixed it up with, on the other hand, in the manifesto, presenting the political left as an enemy that conducted a march through the institutions, describes Antifa communists and Marxists as white, anti-white scum. And then he writes, under some definitions, he is both on the right and the left. I wonder if it just depends on which personality he's taking on that at that moment. A little bit of everything, but the media today and yesterday, since this began, they are just hammering Trump supporters, Trump's rhetoric, the rhetoric of the right, conservatives, this is really the gun owners, who was it? One of the leftist news organizations is running an article about the white crisis. Now that we have, you know, this shooting here. So, but this writer, this shooter, in his writing, in his manifesto, writes, conservatism is dead, thank God, small g. And calling it corporatism in disguise. Conservatives, he says, don't even believe in the race. They don't have the gall to say race exists and don't even care if it does. Well, I'm conservative and none of those are true. What's interesting here is that I just don't play into the racial game. I don't participate in it. But I understand the cultural differences. What's interesting is this whole thing was against Muslims. This was targeting Muslims, the Muslim scum, and everything else that he says. But everything's about race. Islam is not a race. Islam is a worldview ideology, which encompasses political components, military components, economic components, social components, and religious components. It is a total system of domination. Islam is not a religion. It has a religious component to it. But it is everything: political, economic, social, religious, and it is, at its core doctrine, is world domination, hijra, cultural jihad, taking over nations. They openly declare, and this is the scary part here, is that the left is capitalizing on this because many of his talking points in his manifesto are our talking points. I mean, we recognize, and this isn't conspiracy. It's not a theory. Well, it is a conspiracy, but it's not theory. The Muslim doctrine, we see their imams, their top leaders repeatedly, and their minions in Islam following the same mantra, that they are there to dominate. They are sexually assaulting the women and claiming that it's their right, that Allah allows them to take the women of the land that they've conquered for their pleasure. And the stories of the Muslim areas where they've dominated, it is an invasion. There's nothing short of an invasion. They call it an invasion. They boast that this land is our land. We are going to breed your children, your women, so that your entire country in a couple of generations will be Islam. Your grandchildren, they boast, will be bowing to Islam. If that's not an invasion, I don't know what is. And people are being pushed to the brink, and this guy snapped, although I'm not sure if he snapped. There's some things here that aren't adding up. This is not your typical Christian warrior that's concerned about this this hijra, this invasion. Something else is going on here, and I'm looking forward to seeing that as this unfolds over the coming days, but I do know what's going to come out of the next coming days, weeks, and months. The rhetoric is going to increase. The hatred toward Christians and conservatives in general, Trump and Trump supporters, are all behind this because of our rhetoric. Why? Because this guy chose to put in his manifesto some of the same talking points that you and I agree on. This is an invasion. That is their intent. They openly boast of it. So next comes the arguments about disarming ourselves, more strict gun regulations, which according to this manifesto, he says this, the whole point is to cause a invigorated anti-gun movement in the United States, resulting in the resistance by patriots and ultimately a civil war, which ultimately would take the United States out by being distracted by a civil war from the world scene, from its imperialism, because he's anti-imperialist. He's hoping to cause fracturing in the U.S. along cultural and racial lines and force the balkanization. Well, we are already balkanized. There is already a divide, and the racial lines were getting along just fine until that previous president, who will not be named, came along agitating the differences and fomenting dissension between races, splitting the classes. It's us versus them. They used race. They used class warfare. They used anything that ideological lines. They broke down the moral fabric of our nation and just started pulling all the threads and unraveling it, forcing immorality upon the people, not to just accept it, not just to tolerate it, but to embrace it. And if you don't embrace it, you're full of hate. So those of us that want to stand and say, this is not what America was built on. This is not our heritage. Oh, by the way, he mentions heritage, protecting your heritage. Oh, that's evil. So now anybody who talks about protecting your heritage, controlling immigration, waking up to the openly declared invasion by Islam in the guise of, under the disguise of refugees and immigration and multiculturalism. So this is what they're going to capitalize on. They're going to capitalize on our differences, which the communists have done all along. But on the front of his manifesto, he's got this like this wheel, like a pie chart, broken up into like eight sections. And he's got protection of heritage and culture. That's extreme. That's if you are a proponent of protecting your heritage and your culture, which are our talking points, are they not? Well, that's so extreme. That type of rhetoric is going to lead to these type of massacres. So if you openly espouse protection of your heritage and your culture, you're right in there in the same camp as this guy, this schizophrenic guy. Workers' rights, anti-imperialism, and environmentalism. Those are all leftist, globalist, communist type of doctrines to embrace. And he's saying that those things are evil, but he calls himself socialist. And then, of course, on this wheel, he also has a responsible markets, addiction-free communities, and law and order and ethnic autonomy. We march forever forwards. We march ever forwards toward a new society. So very interesting. But as I read through this, I picked up on, and the lines are numbered on the copy that I have, lines 200 through 204 specifically address despair, where he felt there's no other democratic solution. He felt driven to do what he did. And what's interesting is then in those of us who study internal conflict, civil war, strife, conflict within countries. When people rise up, when people finally take action, this is the thing you look for. You look for indicators, and one of those indicators is despair, which is a precise word that he used. And the other thing, powerful indicator that you look for, that people are on the edge of taking action, and that is when there is no democratic solution. When they feel there is no solution, they're out of options, and there's nothing left to do but something drastic. Now, that doesn't mean every person that feels despair about the system and they don't feel like there are any democratic solutions. That does not mean that person is going to go into a place of worship and level, scores and scores of people, men, women, and children in cold blood. That does not mean that. But for this guy, it did. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. I want to come back. I want to share something with you from Culture Watch, but I want to talk to the churches first to make sure we don't run out of time. And this is really important. Our world is about to change. It's changing right now. The whole temperament of the world is changing. And the hostile feelings down deep in the globalist, communist, leftists, essentially anti-God people, they're going to use Christians and conservatives as the scapegoat for the rage that they have inside of them, and things are going to start changing. And also some things are going to change on the security front as well. And I'll talk about that when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Chelan and Douglas counties for holding their first joint volunteers meeting on the 12th. They had a great turnout and a successful evening. The next volunteer meetings are Friday, March 22nd in Yakima County, Saturday, March 23rd in Grant County, and Monday, the 25th, is the Benton-Franklin Joint County Meeting. Our next state event that everyone is being asked to come to will be the Lexit Rally in Olympia on Friday, March 29th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., where we will all show up in mass and tell Olympia that we are dividing the state. There will be many speakers from county commissioners and sheriffs to other elected officials, Second Amendment supporters, heads of county agriculture, business, and industry. Having been so closely involved in the politics surrounding the Washington State Legislature this session and watching so many mortifying bills get passed by the Democrats that are in an all-out free-for-all, I can do nothing but reflect happily on the hope that is Liberty State. This is the stage in our movement that we are bringing in elected officials into our discussions and asking them for their input. Some elected officials have incorrectly stated that Liberty State is not economically viable. That is not true at all. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth, as Representative Matt Shea proves with information from the Washington State Office of Financial Management, Idaho Legislature, and Ballotopedia, which show that Liberty State's population is nearly identical to the population of Idaho, and the total income of both Liberty State and Idaho are nearly identical as well, at nearly $7 billion per year. The state of Idaho does just fine, and therefore, so would Liberty State. So share this information in Representative Shea's PowerPoint and refer them to that video so they can verify it for themselves. If they go to that video, they can find that exact information that begins at 44 minutes and 35 seconds. Let's talk positively and productively about this to everyone we know and let them know this is not going to happen, but that it is happening right now as we speak. And they better get on board and join in this awesome effort today by volunteering or by donating to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that will actually count. I am Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Is the voice of the American Redoubt. We're back with segment two, and segment two is brought to you by Riverfront Suites, located about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene. Furnished suites, six or seven of them now, right on the St. Joe River, sleepy little town of St. Mary's, beautiful little place. Plan your weekend getaway and check them out at riverfrontsuites.com. And also, in all my excitement, I forgot to mention our sponsor from segment one, which is our friends at Works Holsters, making custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products, works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z.com. And I got a couple quick announcements here. Don't forget about the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. That's linked at radiofreeredoubt.com for you to learn more. All they have is a Facebook page, but all the information is there. All the information that you need for that that event is there. I'll be speaking as well. And I wanted to make way. I normally have a little advertisement that I play that Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate put together, but I was squeezed for time because of the new Liberty State PSA, the public service announcement, went long. It was like 2 minutes. So also, don't forget about the Northwest Preparedness Expo on April 13th and 14th in Prosser, Washington. I'll be talking about emergency communications there in both of those. Okay, now I want to address something real quick to make sure that I have time to cover it. Things are happening right now very rapidly. The security situation is changing. We are security-minded at Radio Free Redoubt, and I know most of this listening audience is as well. ISIS just put out two more posters calling for attacks on the United States and, of course, the West, but they specifically targeted Americans in their homes, they said this time. They got a picture of a burning home in the background with a couple of jihadi ISIS fighters with a technical, that's a truck with a machine gun or a rocket launcher mounted in the back of it. On this latest poster, and they're saying, we're coming for you, Americans. It's time. We now have the green light, the go-ahead, and we're coming. We're coming to your homes. We are going to, basically, they're essentially threatening to go on raids in the middle of the night and start kicking in doors and killing everybody in it and going house to house until they're stopped. And things are changing. Now, this attack on these two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, has prompted a massive outcry from the Muslim community around the world about retribution, about paying the West back, going after the Christian crusaders and starting to slaughter. Now that there's calls for slaughtering of Westerners wherever you find them, which of course is Quranic doctrine. for invaders. When you invade a country, you kill all, you kill the unbelievers. You know, make them slaves, and those who won't, you make them, you kill them. You breed the women so that their race will be wiped out. So that's what they're calling for. But this shooting in New Zealand now has led to a revived, invigorated call for new war on the West. So since this was an attack on two places of worship, churches, pastors, parishioners, warriors that go to church, be prepared. I strongly believe that at some point, it could happen next week, next month, next year, but you're going to begin seeing a new trend, a wave of attacks on Christian churches. And just like he said, I did this in New Zealand to show the world, to show the Muslims that even in the most remote, quiet, off to the side places of the earth, you're not safe. And I believe that the Muslim jihadis are going to do the same thing. They're going to go for the small churches in small, quiet communities where everybody feels safe, and they're going to try to strike fear into the heart of the unbelievers, from their vernacular, that you're not safe anywhere. So if you don't already have it, you need to establish a church security team in your churches. This is taking off. Thank the Lord. Churches are waking up and they're providing security. Now, in the meantime, you should be armed. You should always be prepared to defend life. And myself and just about everybody I know, whether we go to church or a restaurant or wherever, we're armed. And you should be armed as well. If you don't already have a security team, talk to your pastors or your elders and approach the pastor. You need armed security. You need armed security outside, non-uniformed, roving security. Almost every single church shooting, almost, look them up, every single one of them started outside in the parking lot or at the entrance. Put security cameras out for your situational awareness with views of all the entrances and the approaches. And I recommend a combat rifle available within arm's reach, inside and outside, hidden away from public view, of course, and get training. We're going to talk more about this. You guys have a blessed rest of the weekend. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Stay safe and God bless.